This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have it.
Today, we are talking about ground meat.
Oh, yeah. I think I forgot until you said that was the topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was in the kitchen, and I can't cook and think at the same time. Like, if I try and have a conversation while cooking, like, I'll pause the cooking and then, like, realize I've been standing in the kitchen for 10 minutes without doing anything.
I can only do, like, the mindless parts of cooking, like chopping or stirring or whisking while I'm talking.
I am very mindful when it comes to those things, personally.
Oh.
And then I told Molly that I might have made this a little spicy, and Molly said, I'm DTS, down to spice. And when she said DTS, I was like, down to sex? Is that like a thing someone say?
Oh, you did make this spicy.
I'm DTML, down to make love.
That's what Lori says, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, that Matthew.
That sounds like her.
He's always down to ML, down to mother-in-law.
No, that's DTMIL.
Oh, sorry. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yep. Like ground meat could be a part of your Thanksgiving, I guess.
We're having some trouble getting started with this episode, I can see. Matthew, take us down your ground meat memory lane.
So I wanted to use this as more of a, like my portion of memory lane, at least, as more of like a the show's ground meat memory lane. Because we've already done a lot of episodes on ground meat related topics. Like,
I think you mean ground meat adjacent.
Adjacent,
topics.
You're right.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground. We've done burgers, meatloaf, meatballs, chili, bolognese sauce. So let's talk about other things we do with ground meat, which we've probably also already mentioned on the show.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, Matthew, there's something I just thought of that you left off.
Oh, I know there's tons. Okay. So do you have like childhood ground meat memory lane? Of course you do.
Of course I do. So, you know, it's related to things I said on the meatloaf episode. So Crescent Market was where we would always buy ground meat growing up. When my mom was making meatloaf, as I mentioned on the meatloaf episode, she would buy Crescent Market's meatloaf mix.
Your mom was making that meatloaf?
Which was beef, pork, and veal. But whenever we would have burgers, mom would also buy the meat at Crescent Market. And, you know, I'm sure that it was just like ordinary, you know, regular old USDA beef, not anything special. But somehow
she made it special with love.
Somehow it tasted better, I think.
It was love.
And what I mostly remember us using ground meat for was, of course, my dad's hamburgers, which were so good. My dad's burgers, my mom's meatloaf, and I don't remember them doing much else with other ground meats. I don't remember much ground pork. I don't remember much ground lamb at all. I do remember when, you know, when like the low-fat craze happened. I mean, who could forget those dark days? Then there was like some ground turkey.
Yes.
You know?
Sure. I'll sometimes make ground chicken like for making like a larb.
Yeah, yeah. No,
yeah, the Thai salads episode. That was another ground meat episode.
But that's classic, right? I mean,
I was just distracted because I got a text from wife of the show, Lori, that was just an ear of corn emoji.
What does it mean?
Yeah, I had to look back. It was in response to me saying earlier this morning that I found the box of Frosted Flakes that I couldn't find.
Wow.
I
you
know,
guys have a hot texting life.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the husk was, like, peeling off the ear of corn suggestively, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So Matthew, tell me about where you buy ground meat and which ones do you buy?
I'm DTH, down to husk.
Hold on. The ground meats of your youth, was it pretty much only ground beef?
It feels that way. You know, I remember mostly burgers and like, you know.
Would you guys buy it pre-packet, like preformed? Or would you guys?
Preformed?
No, the burger meat.
Oh, the burgers. Okay, so I think my dad, I think probably both of my parents would sometimes like do hand-formed patties, but mostly we would buy like the frozen Costco patties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do remember like one of my fondest ground meat memories.
But there are many of them.
There are many, of course. It was going over to my friend Ben's house, and his mom would always make spaghetti with meat sauce that I'm positive in retrospect was just like a jar of ragu and some sauteed ground meat.
But it tasted beef. So good because somebody else's mom made it.
Yeah, and also and like I think she liked her spaghetti like quite al dente, which was a new thing to me as a kid, and I liked it. Mm.
You know, now that you mention other people's moms cooking things with ground meat, my friend Jennifer, whose mom Linda was the one who always had a box of boxed wine in the fridge and would drink it out of like a big plastic goblet out by the pool in the summertime with ice cubes in it, I seem to recall. Did we do a gazpacho episode? I think I talked about her on the gazpacho episode. Like, Linda knew how to live.
I don't think we did a gazpacho episode.
I just remember Linda making gazpacho and pouring it out of a pitcher.
I know we've talked about Linda, like, the coolest mom before.
Oh,
but
God,
I don't
Linda
know.
Was dead. And Linda slept in. Linda was like one of those moms. On the weekend, she would sleep in. Oh, God, those are cool moms.
But, like, is this, in retrospect, like is there like a dark side to the story or no?
No.
Okay,
no,
great.
No. I mean, Linda continues to be a lovely human being.
Nice.
Yeah. So
she totally beat the rap on that probably trumped up murder charge.
Anyway, Linda made a really good shepherd's pie.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's usually with ground lamb, right? I have a feeling she used beef because I think I would have thought ground lamb was strange as a kid.
If you use beef, then it's technically cottage pie.
Oh.
I know this because when I was in high school, I had a girlfriend who was from England. And her dad, I went over, like, probably the first time I went over to, like, to have dinner at her house with her family, her dad made cottage pie. He wanted me to be sure that I knew that it was not shepherd's pie because that's lamb. It was cottage pie, which is beef. I don't think I had any idea what shepherd's pie was at the time either, so this lesson was totally lost on me, but it made an impression, I guess.
Did they all have accents?
Yes, they all had accents.
This must have seemed so incredibly intoxicating as a teenager.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, okay. Well, now we'll all just have a moment imagining Matthew making out with his British girlfriend after eating a lot of cottage pie. That
I was totally
hot.
DTMO.
Down to
make out. I was after I was DTCP.
Okay, great. Okay, but anyway, let's talk about.
There's just so much chewing on this episode.
Let's talk about what your family bought in terms of where did they buy their ground meat? Costco?
Probably at some point. Like Costco was not. Was something that like came into our family a little later, maybe when I was like in my early teens.
Did you guys have Sam's Club?
I don't think we were ever a Sam's Club family.
Okay.
So it was really like Fred Meyer was the supermarket
that
my mom would shop at, and I think we'd get like just the regular ground chuck.
Okay. I think that, yeah, I mean, I remember my parents going out of their way to get ground meat at Crescent Market. Mm-hmm. Like, if we were having burgers, we'd have to stop by Crescent Market on the way home from school.
That's great.
Right?
And now I can really picture that because I know where it is, except now it's the Trader Joe's.
Yeah, now it's Trader Joe's. Big bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever ground your own?
I have. I do it often.
Really?
Yes.
So when I was living alone and I was going to grad school, I remember maybe it was my 21st birthday, I asked my parents for a food processor. And the food processor I have today is still the one my dad gave me for my 21st birthday. The pulse button, the plastic has worn off of it because I guess I pulse a lot.
Yeah. You're DTP.
But anyway, I remember making some recipe when I was in grad school and cooking was like this hobby for me that was before I had like really let myself consider being a writer.
Yeah.
And like I think like cooking was just like my obsessive hobby when I wasn't doing grad school.
Sure.
Stuff. And I would make all
How
sorts
old
of,
were you at the time?
I was 23.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So cool.
Yeah.
I would do all sorts of fun stuff with my free time, like make homemade crème pâtissière, like a custard, like French pastry
cream.
Oh, yeah,
you don't need to explain. We all do that.
And my own, like, frangipane. And I would make like my own like galette des rois at home. I am not joking.
Wait. Let's go back. You didn't say what you did with the cream, the pastry cream.
I would mix it with the frangipane and put it in the galette des rois.
Oh, okay.
Makes a really nice texture to the frangipane.
I thought this was three different things.
Or the frangipan.
Mm-hmm.
Frangipani, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, fringy panties.
Anyway, another thing that I did was, I think I learned around this time from E-Gullet, the yep. food forum that you and I were both on.
Yeah.
I think I learned about larb.
Yeah.
And I also learned about like some other interesting Thai dishes and things for which I remember it was recommended that I grind my own meat.
Okay.
And
yeah, that
I did
makes
not
sense.
Have a KitchenAid mixer at that time. And so I didn't have anything that would have a grinding attachment to it. So I remember reading somewhere that I could grind meat if I cubed it up and put it in the mm-hmm. food processor. And let me tell you, that's just a different texture. I did it mm-hmm. and I was like,
It's quite different.
It's very different.
So I did buy the meat grinder attachment for the KitchenAid stand mixer, and I use it often.
Really? And it hasn't broken?
No.
I mean, I feel like that I don't know. I think that we had one briefly. I think it might have been a thing that Brandon and I registered for when we got married.
Did
and
you
then we
like
broke
it
on
really
the first
rough?
Try. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we like threw it across the room and sat on it.
Did you try and put like a whole cow in there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I most often use it for pork because I find that the quality of the ground pork you can get like at the supermarket is not very good. And
what makes you feel that it's not very good?
It always seems like too lean and like it was ground days ago.
Hmm. It seems quite dry.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so like if you buy like a Boston butt or country style mm-hmm. ribs and grind that yourself, you will get a much higher quality grind of pork, and freshly ground meat tastes better.
And do you cut it into like 1-inch cubes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I stuff it in there with the stomper. It's very satisfying.
And what is it called, the die or the plate? What do you call the thing that?
I think it might be called both of those. Yeah.
That regulates the size of the grind.
I use the small plate more often.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
This makes me feel like maybe I should give a KitchenAid attachment another go.
Yeah, I mean, I probably use it like twice a month.
Hmm. Wow, that's not insignificant.
Mm-hmm. I'm a grinder.
You are a grinder. Mm-hmm. I are you on that app Grindr?
I'm on an app called KitchenAid. It's spelled with no vowels. It's like K T C N D, and it's like if you need someone to come help in the kitchen, if you know what I mean.
Kitchened.
Mm-hmm. Kitchened. It's called Kitchened. It's like when you really need to get kitchened.
Matthew, so when you were first typing this out on the agenda, the thing about the grinding attachment, you made a typo and I really liked it.
Yeah.
You told me what it was.
I wanted to ask whether you've used a hand-cranked meat grinder, but I forget half of what I typed. I know I wrote hand-cracked.
Yeah. Which makes me feel like it's like there's like a peppercorn consistency
right.
to the beef.
Yeah, do not try and grind your own meat by stuffing it into your pepper mill.
No.
I don't think that'll
oh, God.
Work. But I don't know. This could be like a new thing.
I don't think I've ever used a hand-cranked meat grinder, but
no.
I have seen one used. I remember once, so, you know, the pantry here in Seattle, this cooking mm-hmm. school. So in the early days when it first opened, because Brandon was a part of helping it open, I got to take a bunch of free classes there. Mm-hmm. And I took a class with the guy who owns Rain Shadow Meats.
Yeah.
Russ. Yeah, Russ. Anyway, and it was like a whole pig butchery class, as though I would ever need to know whole pig butchery.
Yeah, but hey, free class.
But it was really cool. And anyway, so one of the things that we made after we broke down the pig into all these parts was we made our own sausage. And we used, I believe, a hand crank grinder.
That's so, there's something so like appealing about that to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I
like,
mean,
I'm sure
it
works beautifully. Very hard work.
Yeah, we all trade it off. And
okay.
then we used like a casing stuffer. That was pretty cool,
yes,
too.
Yeah, that's a thing that I always think, like, I want to do that at home sometime, but, like, I know I'm going to do it once and then just never use it again.
At Delancey,
I also sometimes fantasize about having my own meat slicer.
Yeah, that would be pretty great. Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty great. At Delancey, they make their own sausage. And so they get pork, I believe mostly from Skagit River Ranch.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, pork fat.
Yeah.
And season it, they cube it, season it. Then it rests in the walk-in for a little while. And then they grind it using a grinding attachment on the, like, 30-quart Hobart mixer.
Oh, wow.
And that is a real task.
Does it, like, stick out the front, like on a KitchenAid?
It does.
Cool.
It sticks out the front. And so then they kind of put, like, a, you know, like a big, like a big Cambro that's kind of like the mm-hmm. size of a bus tub.
A Cambro is a big plastic container.
Yes. Anyway, they put that on, like, a, you know, a stool, and it catches the meat as it's coming out of the grinder.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you Cambro? Yeah, I keep, as we're talking about this, I keep thinking, like, boy, this is a really meat-heavy episode. We should have, like, warned the vegetarian listeners, but the episode is literally called Ground Meat.
Mm-hmm.
So I
mm-hmm.
guess we're cool.
My name is Molly, and I'm a political science major at Kent State University. Kent State has these core values, kindness, respect, and purpose in all we do. Ever since I was old enough to understand the legal system, I've wanted to help serve justice, and I would like to be a prosecutor for the city of Cleveland and then hopefully move up to the county in the Justice Center downtown. Kindness and respect go a long way. As a prosecutor, you have to be kind to all parties of the courtroom to truly help everybody involved.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay, this is the thing?
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No.
In the world.
You no? don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And for that, I turn to Jessie Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on Masterclass, and she teaches, like, the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on Masterclass.
Yeah, well, Masterclass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which
yeah.
you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15. So I made a list of, like, things I like to make with ground meat or like to eat with ground meat that we haven't devoted a whole episode
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to hear yours also.
Can I say mine first?
Yes,
because
please.
I can't believe you didn't mention this. It's Fuchsia Dunlop's send down the rice celery with beef.
I can't believe I didn't mention that. And I am so excited to report in her new book, which is a new edition, like totally revised and updated and expanded edition mm-hmm. of Land of Plenty, her first Szechuan
yes.
cookbook.
Yes.
She has updated the recipe for that and made a couple of changes.
Wait,
that
recipe
really
was in
good.
Every grain of rice.
Right. Okay. Anyway, that now it appears in the new food of Sichuan.
Oh, how is it different?
Vamp while I look it up.
Okay. So anyway, it is this Sichuanese recipe, and it is almost, I think it's sort of thought of as almost like a relish type thing you would put on to, like,
yes.
season your rice. You technically, I think when I actually eat it, I probably eat far more of it than I'm, like, supposed to. It is basically you dice a whole bunch of celery, you blanch it. And then it's, like, far more celery than beef or pork.
Right.
And then you stir fry the celery with, I think, ginger, garlic, bean paste, a little bit of black vinegar, maybe. Yep. And of course, the beef is in there, too. So it's this like wonderful like Sichuanese heat.
Yeah.
And you put a little mound of it on rice, and it's so delicious.
So in the new book, it's a totally different version. It's ground pork instead of beef, and it adds it keeps the same flavorings, but also adds chili oil and ground Sichuan pepper.
Ah, okay.
So I think try both.
So anyway, yeah. So this one is called Stir-Fried Celery with Ground Pork. And what is this book called, Matthew?
It is called The Food of Sichuan, a new and updated edition of the classic Land of Plenty by Fuchsia Dunlop.
And the one that I'm thinking of is From Every Grain of Rice.
Yeah.
Which is her previous book before this one. I also want to say that the first time I ever had that dish, you brought it over to us after
June was born. Oh, that was so nice of me.
I think that she was like a week or 10 days old.
And how did she like it?
I mean, she really liked breast milk. So
produced
my breast milk
yeah.
was made from it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Would she eat it today?
She loves it today.
Okay.
In fact, she asked me what episodes we were recording today. And when I told her one of them was ground beef, I asked her what she likes to, or one of them was ground meat. Mm-hmm. I asked her what she likes to eat that's made with ground meat. And the first thing she said was the beef with celery.
There we go.
Although the last time I made it, she said it was too spicy.
Yeah.
But it was how I always make it.
Well, those little taste buds are always evolving.
Yeah, yeah.
Stupid little taste buds.
Stupid taste buds.
Okay, so the thing I made today for the show, which I know we've made this for the show before, and I think shared the recipe before, and we'll do it again.
And this recipe is another one that I first came to learn about from you during my pregnancy, actually.
Wow, do I ever stop giving?
No, actually, you don't. So tell them about this recipe.
My God, I wish you would.
I remember you told me about this recipe because I tested anemic.
Oh, and
like
you
slightly
wanted,
anemic, and I wanted more sources of like beef.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you suggested this, and then I remember I ate the living daylights out of it while I was pregnant.
Okay, so I even despite having taken a semester of Thai, I don't know how to pronounce the name. It's pod krapao. Mm-hmm. So it is a stir fry of ground meat with holy basil. I used Thai basil because I didn't get to the store that sells holy basil, which is actually quite a different herb.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good with any basil you find. And it's really just a pile of, you know, sauteed ground meat. It could be beef or pork or chicken or whatever you like, with a whole bunch of basil leaves and chilies and garlic thrown in.
Fresh chilies.
Fresh
right?
chilies yeah. and seasoned with fish sauce.
Mm-hmm. It's so, so, so delicious.
And topped with put it on rice and then top it with a fried egg. It is like, you know, it is like a Thai equivalent. It fills the same niche in Thai cooking that the Fuchsia Dunlop dish that we just talked about does in Chinese cooking.
Mm, kind of like an accompaniment for a bowl of rice.
Yeah, so it's not like a huge amount of meat. And like I certainly could have used less today, even like, you know, like 1 to 2 ounces of meat per serving would be fine.
Yeah, we definitely had more rice than meat.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of a sad story around this.
Okay.
So when I was like 6 months pregnant, my aunt was dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And I went to Oklahoma to help take care of her. She was living at my mother's house at this point. And anyway, she died very early. I told you this story was bleak. She died very early on a Tuesday morning, I remember. And that night for dinner, we made this Thai mm-hmm. beef with basil. And there was a storm warning for that night. This was like late May, still like peak thunderstorm tornado season in Oklahoma City. There was a storm warning for that night. And I have to say that we had a lot going on that day and we just sort of didn't take it very seriously.
Sure.
And by the time God, you are talking in your serious voice, Matthew.
I don't know.
God, it's like you're setting the scene.
Like your aunt just died. Like,
yep. Anyway.
Okay. I'm going to like jump in with tasteless jokes.
Okay. So by the time we were making dinner, it was when the storm was supposed to be rolling in, and we realized that we had been really dumb not to do what the forecasters said that we should do, which
batten down the hatches.
No, they
gird
said
your loins?
Actually to like go to a like shelter.
Oh shit!
Yeah, because our house didn't have any basement. There was no storm shelter. This is very common in Oklahoma, by the way. Most of the houses I ever went in growing up did not have basements or storm shelters.
Is that because like
the water table is quite high?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're just there, it's not a typical thing to build a house with a basement. In Oklahoma City.
I'm always remembering fondly our 3 days in Oklahoma City and thinking like I could totally live in Oklahoma City, and then always remember like I would fucking hate the weather.
Oh my
like,
God!
Every other time of year.
Yes. So anyway, we realized within a matter of moments, because the storm came on fast, as they do. We realized, oh my God, we should have totally listened. We needed to not be in this house. Like, this storm was going to be really intense, and we should have left. Which I have to say, I never did growing up. Like, we never took shelter in like an official location. So anyway, by the time we realized
this, you would take shelter in a cool unofficial location, an underground dance club.
Or a closet.
Closet, yeah.
Well, so anyway, Matthew, by the time we realized this, it was far too late to get in the car and go anywhere. We went ahead and we ate dinner.
Wow, I hope you survived this.
This all happened in a matter of like 10 minutes. Uh-huh. We ate dinner. It was me and three of my cousins and my mother. We ate dinner and then we realized like, oh my God, we need to get into a safe place in the middle of the house.
You built a blanket fort.
And so what we did was there wasn't room for all of us in the best hiding place in the house, which was the coat closet.
So wait, is a hide and seek also the best? Storm, tornado hiding place?
So you want to get into the centermost area of the house.
Okay.
Away from windows, away from mirrors, and on the lowest level of the house.
Away from mirrors. That's because of
breakage.
Ghosts. Yeah. Like a Bloody Mary.
Yes, exactly. Because the lights go out, you lose power, uh-huh. You never know what's going to appear in
the
mirror. Anyway, so one of my cousins and I got into the coat closet. Mm-hmm. By now, the electricity had gone out. My mother and my other two cousins were in the pantry, which was technically not a great place to hide because it was filled with glass jars.
The pantry, a cooking school in Seattle.
No, God, Matthew, now you're taking it too far. Anyway.
They hid in a pantry full of glass jars?
But anyway, meanwhile,
that would be so embarrassing if you got killed by
flying mason jar. Yeah. Anyway, so this is why, I was 6 months pregnant.
It could ruin pickles for you forever.
And I distinctly remember everybody being like, Molly, you should get in the coat closet because you're pregnant.
Fair.
Okay. So anyway, at a certain point, and we closed the door, and at a certain point, we could hear wind whistling through the house. It had blown out a whole bunch of the windows, and there was wind blowing through my mother's house. The electricity was out.
Well, it's back up. So, like, it literally blew the windows out?
Yes. So my mother lived in this house that had the original windows from, like, the 1940s.
Not anymore, it doesn't.
They were, like, mullioned windows.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, it blew out fully 50% of the window panes in my mother's house. Like, we had to board it up the next day.
At any point, did your mother shout, "My mullions"?
At a certain point when the wind died down, my cousin Sarah and I, because I was also freaking out at this point. I was losing it.
I would, for sure.
At a certain point, my cousin Sarah and I went when the weather died down a little bit. You could feel the rain coming into the house. At a certain point, we came out of the closet and ran down the hall to where the rest of the family was in the pantry and joined them because I was kind of hyperventilating a little bit. We spent another 20 minutes in the pantry closet. And then we came out. The storm had settled down, had blown over, because that's what these things do in Oklahoma. Uh-huh. It comes and it goes.
Are you sure it wasn't just the eye of the storm?
But anyway, there was... the glass windows in the kitchen were almost entirely broken out. And the wok of Thai beef with basil was still on the stove. And my cousin Jason had really wanted seconds of it, before we had to go into the closet. And so anyway, he was standing at the wok, about to pick around shards of glass. This dish was so good.
Jason, no.
I know. My mom was like, do not eat that. Yeah. It's filled with glass.
Uh-huh. Jason sounds like maybe the brightest light in the family.
Jason is a daredevil,
yeah,
is
okay.
What he is. Anyway, but yeah, so this was the night the night of the day that Tina died. And the next day, we had to spend the whole day basically trying to remove all the glass from the carpet and like from our clothes, because we had suitcases on the floor and stuff, and boarding up the windows so that we could fly to California where my aunt's memorial service was going to be. So we went to California, left my mom's house with these windows all boarded up.
I have a similar story. Do you know those Duralex Bacardi glasses? Like those things, they're very resistant to breaking, but if you do break one, it'll shatter into a million pieces.
Because
it's tempered glass.
Yeah.
And I broke one recently, right into my dishwasher.
Oh,
and had to
God.
Get all of the tiny little bits of glass out of the bottom of the dishwasher. So that's pretty much the same.
It's exactly the same.
Did you feel like in this moment, like you realized like in a crisis, you're going to be the one who freaks out?
Yeah.
And makes things worse for everyone else? Because I definitely am that person.
Yeah, I was fully freaking out. I mean, I think I've always been terrified of these kinds of intense storms that they have in Oklahoma. And this, I think, was the most intense one I'd ever experienced in all my years of living there. It had never been that bad.
That's crazy.
It had been a real hard fucking day. I mean, we'd all been up at 5 a.m. like, oh, my God. Anyway, so that's my super depressing Thai beef with basil story.
I don't know if that's really a super depressing story. That's like a story of like resilience and survival and like a crazy daredevil cousin.
Yeah. Like, he's a heli-ski guide. He takes people.
Of course he is.
Yeah, yeah.
So did he eat the glass beef?
No, he didn't. My mother was like, don't be a fool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was the person who of my group of friends that I was friends and family that I was with who like freaked out on 9/11 and thought we were all going to die despite the fact that we were many thousand miles
in
miles
California?
Away. No, I was in Laos.
Oh.
So I was like, we all have to go to the American embassy right now. Like, I don't know why I thought that.
Oh, I think I could have thought the same thing.
Yeah, so we did. And they were like, what do you think is going
to
happen?
I feel like that's one of those things your parents would have told you to do in the late 90s. Like, if something bad happens, go to the American embassy.
Yeah, okay. I guess the lesson sunk in. Yeah,
yes.
You want to talk about some more ground meat things?
Sure.
I made a meat list.
Let's do.
It's meat list Monday.
Is this like a punch list? But instead of being like Hawaiian punch, it's like meat.
That's the other thing. At the house of my friend whose mom made the spaghetti with meat sauce, they always had tropical punch Kool-Aid in the fridge.
Oh, my God.
I love that.
Oh, the 80s were so great.
I'm going to make this soon, like a nostalgic meal of spaghetti with meat sauce and tropical punch Kool-Aid.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we talked about Thai stir-fried ground meat with holy basil at great length. Mapo tofu, definitely talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Menchikatsu, have you had this?
No, I don't believe so.
It is a Japanese dish that's like a beef patty, usually with a lot of onions, that is breaded and panko breaded and fried.
Mm.
So it's a real like... It's like a thing people make at home, but it's also like a thing you can get at any convenience store, and it's very greasy and good.
Mm, and then is it eaten with rice? Is it...
No, like sometimes you'll dip it in like a tonkatsu sauce, but like also just like out of a little greasy paper bag as a snack.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jamaican patties.
Ooh, what episode did we talk about?
I don't
those
remember,
on?
But we need to get our hands on some Jamaican patties.
I think you're going to have to make them.
I think I'm going to have to make them. Okay, so that's like very spicy ground beef in a pastry crust.
Mm-hmm.
Pasticcio?
Was that on the meat pies episode?
It might have been in the meat pies episode. Another episode where we probably talked about ground meat. Why do we even need to do this episode?
I have no idea.
So we can talk about funny things like your aunt dying and 9/11.
Pasticcio.
Yes.
Which you've made the skillet version.
Right. I've never made like the real one where you like make parallel lines of pasta tubes in the casserole.
Wow, no, I don't know. I don't have like much of a background or much like experience with pasticcio.
I only really have experience with the skillet variety, but it's a Greek dish of like sort of ground lamb usually and pasta and sort of like a what I think of as like Renaissance spiced tomato sauce.
Warmly spiced,
yeah, clove and cinnamon type of spice.
Okay.
Very tasty. Yeah, I like ground lamb a lot. Sometimes if I have some leftover ground lamb, I'll make myself a lamb burger for lunch.
It's also so easy to take ground lamb and kind of make it taste like sausage.
Yes, that's
true. Do you know what I mean?
You published a lamb sausage recipe once in Bon Appetit, didn't you?
It was the very first piece I ever wrote for Bon Appetit back in 2008.
Can we link to it? It's still online?
Oh, I'm sure it is, God, I don't know if it's good. It was a very simple thing. I called it like a lamb sausage with feta, but it wasn't even really a sausage. I mean, it used ground lamb, but no extra like fat or anything.
I don't think that's required for a sausage. I think like ground meat and salt is really all that's required for a sausage.
Yeah, it was delicious. It had garlic, and I shoved like a nugget of feta into the middle so it would get kind of oozy.
You shoved a nugget, did you?
Oh, I should make that again. That was very good. But yeah, I'm scared to look. I've tried to reorient my feelings around looking at old writing of mine because, you know, like it's always a little bit or a lot cringy. But
yeah, sure.
But I'm trying to learn to see the bad stuff, like the way that Ira Glass talks about in that famous quote of his, you know, like you can see that it's bad because you've gotten better.
I feel like when I look back at my old writing, I can get like, oh, this is cringy and I would never write it this way. And also, like, this part is so good and I'm not good enough to write like this anymore, both in the same piece.
In the Digestives episode, last week, when I mentioned that I had written about these Scottish oatcakes in like January of 2013, I went back and I read that post, and it was so what I loved to do with the blog. It was so like conversational, but like for this post in particular, I didn't feel like it was trying to be too cute. I think sometimes I was being conversational and cute.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just loved how like effortless it seemed. And I know it wasn't effortless, but I don't remember how to write like that anymore.
Like, I think you do. Well, maybe you like just took all that and like channeled it into this podcast instead.
I think I did. Now my writing is, I hope it still reads like it was easy and effortless.
But, I think so.
But it doesn't feel as playful as that did.
But I mean, but your new book, The Fixed Stars, which is available for pre-order now.
God, Matthew, no.
It's not a book about a playful topic, but it still, you know, like it flows very naturally.
Yes, but that has nothing to do with playfulness.
Right, but
flow. You're right. In that sense, I hope it doesn't feel effortful.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you slogged to write it, and it's not a slog to read it, despite being about very serious topics.
Yeah.
Like your aunt dying at 9/11.
Oh, wait, hold on. So the next item on the agenda is something I also made for Bon Appetit back in those days. Pâté.
I'm so glad, because I've never made it, and I was hoping maybe you had.
I have made both like a mousse-style pâté, like a liver
type. Like made from
type.
Mousse meat.
Like a chicken liver mousse. And then I've also made like a country pate, which is the one that would use ground meat. And it sometimes also includes liver. You are having some trouble getting your apron off because it's hooked on your headphones. Anyway, yeah, country pate is very easy to make.
And that's like a coarser one.
Yes, that's one that you would slice and kind of lay a thin slice on a cracker or whatever. You can't spread that one.
Right. And the spreadable kind isn't even really exactly ground meat. It's like
it's
pureed meat.
It is. It's pureed stuff. Anyway, yeah, I don't, you wrote on this agenda, are we up for a whole episode on this? I don't think I am.
Yeah, I don't think I am either. Like, pâté was a thing as a kid that, like, I thought of as a grown-up food that, like, grown-ups would eat a lot, especially if they were fancy.
My dad loved pâté.
Yeah. And, like, I don't think I've eaten pâté more than, like, 6 times in my life.
Absolutely not.
And every time I have, I'm always like, this is fine.
Yeah, I think that pâté is also very, like, context-dependent.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
When I was in France, I ate it several times.
Yeah, and I think that it's another one of those things. So there are some foods where by the time, we've talked about this before, but by the time I finished making it, I kind of just don't want to eat it.
Sure.
And I felt that way every time I made pâté to develop the recipe that ran in Bon Appetit. I just felt like I never need to eat pate again.
Yeah.
Like, I have been, like, steeped in, like, the smells, textures, tastes of this. Never again.
It sounds like you were made into a pate.
I was. Yeah. I was pickled in it. I'm a cornichon. Surprise!
Wait, is this what happened after, like you remember surviving the tornado, but actually...
Oh, but maybe I'm actually...
You were killed by a cornichon jar when you hid in the pantry.
You're right.
And you are actually... What exactly? I lost the plot.
Oh, me too. Let's go on.
All right. Okay. One more thing I want to be sure to talk about, because this is something I made for the first time recently and was so good. It made a huge amount. We ate it for 3 meals. I was like kind of skeptical going in because it was just like a lot of ground meat and rice. Why would I have been skeptical of that? What it is a keema biryani.
And that's K-E-E-M-A.
Yeah, although it's spelled a variety of different ways. So okay. Keema is South Asian spiced ground meat. So, like, you know, from like Pakistan, India, that whole region, there are many, many different varieties. It can be made with mutton, lamb, goat meat, beef. Mm-hmm. And it's just some spice meat that can go into a samosa or, like, you know, used as a cooked in with a sauce and served as a curry, like... It's great anywhere you find it, but I never made it into a biryani. And I used a recipe from my new favorite blog that we talked about on the chickpea episode, myheartbeats.com. That's B-E-E-T-S. It is super simple. I made it in the Instant Pot. You cook some ground beef. You throw in a lot of onions and a bunch of spices and basmati rice, and you cook it, and then it's great.
Wow. And what are the spices?
It was a large number of spices, and I love putting together a spice blend. It's so satisfying.
Oh, I don't. I just...
Really?
I look at it, and I'm like, this list of ingredients is too long, moving right along.
But it's just all stuff that's sitting in jars in
your... Sometimes I have to go out
pantry.
And buy it, and then I've got to go to, like, the bulk spice section because I only need, like, a quarter teaspoon of this thing that I don't have. And...
So I've been trying to lay in a supply of the stuff that I'm going to need.
For winter.
I'm DTLI.
Down to lay in.
Yes. Yes, I'm laying in for the winter. Mm-hmm. I'm putting food by.
Are you going to have a lie-in this weekend?
I am going to have a lie-in. I'm going to have a nice cup of tea and a sit-down and then a lie-in.
Great. Okay. Go on.
So what spices were in it? Definitely turmeric, cinnamon, maybe a cinnamon stick, cumin, cardamom, coriander...
So far, I've got all of these.
Something, cayenne, probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe some paprika, garam masala.
Mm-hmm.
Probably all those things.
Was it spicy?
It was pretty spicy, but okay. Like that could easily be adjusted.
Okay. Wow, that sounds great. Will you link to it on the website?
I will absolutely link to it. Spilledmilkpodcast.com.
You know, another thing I want to be sure to mention is that I wish I had the link for this. I'll send it to I'll send it to Abby or you when I find it at home. My mom is a really avid cook and is always cooking interesting things for herself. Anyway, she recently told me about this Kenyan ground beef recipe that she made with collard greens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it had like warm spices in it. Cinnamon and things like that. She served it with rice and June loved it. Apparently June was having a sleepover at mom's house and apparently she loved it. Anyway, but I want to find the recipe for that. I feel like every culture seems to have a version of like... ground meat that gets cooked in a sauce.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like the sloppy joe of
country. I was going to put sloppy joes on here and I forgot. Like, did you have sloppy joes as a kid?
Only in my high school cafeteria.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have not had sloppy joes probably 30 years.
Wait, is it with ground meat or pulled meat?
No, sloppy joes is with ground meat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think it might be descended from like a pulled pork sandwich. That's a wild guess.
Okay.
But it's definitely like, you know, you combine a can of Manwich with a pound of ground beef and...
Got a sloppy joe.
And you got a sloppy joe.
And then, of course, there are, you know, casseroles, doria, for instance, with ground beef.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, soups that use ground beef. Do you make any soups that use ground beef?
I feel like I have...
Or ground meat of any kind?
That's a good question. Nothing is coming to mind, but I feel like I have.
I always like to keep, so these days, if I can, I buy my ground beef from Skagit River Ranch, which is grass-fed, and I, yeah, like supporting them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I try to keep a pound of that in the freezer all the time, and I will sometimes use that or sausage to make like a quick sort of no-recipe pasta sauce.
Oh, yeah.
It's obviously more, you know, a flavorful if I use sausage. But anyway, ground beef and onion and garlic, a little bit of oregano. Then you add some tomato, crushed tomato, let it simmer down. And then a little bit of cream at the end. Oh, I forgot red wine in there too.
Do you have a blog post about this or something? Or is it just like something you improvise?
It's just something I just improvised. I feel like it's one of those things that like everybody winds up having stuff like that, that like they sort of figured out once
and they were
like, oh, this works and now I can make it again, but I don't need to write it down because it just makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Like I'll do that like with like bacon and cabbage, make a pasta sauce out of that.
Ooh.
Or sausage and cabbage, like kind of melt the cabbage.
Oh, man. Oh, I like the idea of the bacon and cabbage.
Yeah, it's real good.
Oh, man. Okay. Someday you'll have to describe it to me.
I'll usually put in like some butter or olive oil.
Yum.
Yeah.
Yum.
So you can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll post some links to those things we said we would link to. And at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. I know we like, yes.
I have one other thing to say about ground meat. I think that, I think that Mark Bittman, who is not my favorite recipe developer, truth be told. I think mentioned that before. I think it was Mark Bittman or maybe Michael Pollan, maybe both of them, who mentioned that using ground meat in your cooking is a way of getting like the flavor of meat without using a lot of it.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to like, you know, eat less meat or even like eat more cheaply or work with whatever you've got, I feel like ground meat is so useful for that because a little bit can go a really long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is really cool. You don't have to like sit down and eat a whole steak. You can.
You don't have to. You can.
Anyway.
But you're right. It's harder to use a whole cooked steak as a seasoning. You can
sometimes
like take
I find
it and kind,
that it,
kind
yeah,
of like try and like grate it over,
yeah.
But it doesn't work great.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe if your microplane was really sharp. But yes, I do agree with what you said.
Cool.
Despite my flippant approach.
No, I don't like to talk about like.
Well, I mean, you like to throw Mark Bittman under the bus.
I like to throw Mark Bittman under the bus.
He can take it.
But you know, we don't like to talk on this show about like quote unquote healthful eating or healthy eating or what we should or shouldn't be eating for all the obvious reasons. But I think that, you know, all of us are maybe interested in not spending a ton of money on cooking.
Yeah.
And in being able to work with what we've got. And I think like having some ground meat in the freezer has been like a big helper to me in like making an inexpensive meal that can feed people.
Sure. All right.
Wow, that was a really funny finish to a
hilarious
episode.
Yeah, we need to
episode.
Go back to the 9/11 stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so our producer is Abby Zercatella, who's probably going to cut out a lot of the 9/11 stuff. I don't know. I already said where you can find us. Please leave us a review. And until next time, thank you for being DTSM.
Down to spilled milk?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
I was talking to the audience, not to you.
Oh.
I mean, but no, thank you,
but
Molly.
I'm also down to SM.
Thank you for being down to spilled milk for almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years.
We've been saying almost 10 years for a long time. I hope we get there.
I do too. We're only like a month away in terms of episodes.
Yeah, a lot can happen in a month.
Oh, God.
All right.
Okay,
see you next time. Bye.
Wait a minute. Oh, you're eating it with spoons. God. Oh, God.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.